Nekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack complex ideas and hopefully challenge the way you see the world just a little bit. Today, we are diving into a really thought-provoking work by Neil Davidson, Nation States, Consciousness, and Competition. And our mission for you, our curious listener, is to challenge some maybe deeply ingrained assumptions you might have about the political structures governing our lives, you know, the nation state, and reveal its, well, surprising origins and functions.
Yeah, what's so fascinating, I think, is that Davidson doesn't just lay out history. It's more like a foundational rethinking. He really pushes us to understand why the nation state isn't this eternal thing, something that's always existed, but rather it's a historically specific product. Mm-hmm. And it's tied very directly to the rise of capitalism.
Right.
Which then raises that big question. Okay, if it's not natural, then what is it? And why should that understanding matter to you today? It's really about seeing the basic framework of our modern world with, well, fresh eyes.
Absolutely. Okay, so before we get into the meat of the book's arguments, let's talk about the mind behind them. Neil Davidson, who sadly passed away in 2020, was a Scottish academic, historian, and a pretty prominent Marxist theorist. He wasn't just thinking in abstracts, though. He was deeply, deeply engaged with history, particularly Scottish political development. He really grounded his theory in detailed research.
Indeed. And I think Davidson's background gave him a really unique viewpoint. You have this rigorous Marxist theoretical foundation, right? Combined with incredibly detailed historical research. His work on the Scottish Revolution, the formation of the British state, is really influential stuff. And that allowed him to dissect the nation state as something historically constructed, not just there. He brought a serious academic weight, but also maybe a certain polemical edge. He definitely wasn't afraid to challenge established ideas about nationalism.
Yeah, definitely sounds like he liked to stir the intellectual pot a bit. So let's get right to that radical core of his work. His central argument, it's quite a paradigm shift, and maybe at first glance it sounds a bit academic. He says nation-states aren't ancient organic communities, but are the quintessential political shell for the capitalist mode of production.
Right, which is a dense phrase, I get it.
Yeah, but it's incredibly insightful once you unpack it.
Exactly. Essentially what he's saying is the nation-state is like the perfect organizational container, or framework maybe. It's specifically developed to let capitalism flourish, to grow, and importantly, to compete on a global scale.
So it's not just a backdrop, it's an active part of the system.
Precisely. And this really goes against the grain, the conventional wisdom. Davidson contends the whole system, the network of nation states, emerged to serve the competitive needs of capital accumulation. Think about that. It wasn't, you know, shared culture just magically forming a country. It was about organizing territories for economic competition. He argues against seeing nations as purely ancient natural things and against seeing them as completely artificial constructs. Instead, he offers this historical materialist view. They're necessary, yes, but constructed components of the capitalist world system. It's nuanced.
Okay, let's trace that journey then. How did we get from, say, feudal loyalties, where your allegiance was to a local lord, maybe a distant king, to this global system of competing nation states we have now?
Well, Davidson walks us through the breakdown of feudalism and then the rise of what he terms bourgeois revolutions.
Yeah.
He looks closely at England, America, France.
Okay.
And he shows how these weren't really driven by nationalism initially. Not in the way we think of it now. It was more about creating new political structures that could help capital accumulation.
Or what kinds of structures?
Think about needing unified markets, standard weights and measures, right? Consistent legal systems across the territory, reliable taxes. The old feudal setup was just too fragmented for this emerging capitalist economy.
Right, that makes sense. Too messy.
Exactly, too messy. So take the English Civil War. Davidson sees that as a major bourgeois revolution. It essentially broke the power of the old guard, the monarchy, the landed aristocracy, and set up a state much more suited to capitalist development.
Okay.
And then this new state, through the Act of Union with Scotland in 1707, actively forged the British nation state, creating a unified market, a single political entity.
So the state came first, then the national identity was encouraged.
In that case, yes. The national identity followed the state's creation. It didn't precede it. It was a deliberate political and economic project. And similarly, you look at the French Revolution. It wasn't just about liberty, equality, fraternity. It was also a very conscious effort to forge a unified French nation out of all these diverse regional identities, you know, Bretons, Occitans.
How did they do that?
Through things like standardizing the French language, creating national symbols, national education, even compulsory military service. They were, in a sense, manufacturing a national consciousness from the top down to create loyalty to the revolutionary state and mobilize its resources.
Wow. Okay, but this nation-state model, it didn't just spread organically through similar revolutions everywhere, did it? How did it become the dominant global form?
No, exactly. That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
And this is where Davidson brings in a concept he borrows from Leon Trotsky. Uneven and combined development.
Uneven and combined development. Okay, what does that mean?
So the idea is that less developed nations, when they face intense pressure military, economic, from more advanced capitalist powers, they don't just copy the historical path of those early states like Britain or France step by step. Instead, they often sort of combine things. They might adopt advanced technology or production methods, but graft them onto older social structures. And this can lead to really unique, sometimes explosive political situations, often driven by the state itself.
Okay, so give me an example.
Think about countries like Germany, Italy, Japan later on. They were facing huge competition from established powers.
Right.
So they undertook what Davidson calls revolutions from above.
From above, meaning?
Meaning leaders like Bismarck in Germany. Basically orchestrated state building from the top down. They unified territories, pushed rapid industrialization, and really fostered a strong, sometimes aggressive, nationalism. Why? To bind the population to this new state and enable it to compete on the world stage,
yeah.
It was almost a forced adaptation for survival in this new capitalist world.
And this is fascinating. Even anti-colonial movements ended up adopting this very form, the nation state. That feels like a real twist.
It is, absolutely. In the global South, you had anti-colonial leaders, many educated in the West, seeing the power of the nation state model adopting that structure. They saw it as the most viable way to fight for liberation, achieve sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows nationalism's really complex role.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes progressives, right, rallying diverse peoples against foreign domination. But Davidson also points out the limitations. Once new national elites, new bourgeoisies took power, they often just replicated forms of internal oppression or competition within the global system. They didn't fundamentally transform that system.
It's easy to get terms mixed up here. State, nation, nationalism. But Davidson is apparently very careful about distinguishing them.
Yes, very careful. And making these distinctions is really key to understanding his argument. So he defines the state as the machinery of rule. You know, the government, army, police, courts, bureaucracy. The apparatus.
Got it.
The nation is the imagined community. That feeling of collective belonging, shared identity, whether it be on language, history, culture.
The feeling, okay.
And nationalism is the ideology, the political project that tries to fuse those two together. It demands that the boundaries of the state should line up with the boundaries of the nation and that this state-nation unit should be sovereign.
And crucially, he argues the state often creates the nation, not the other way around.
That's a major reversal of how we often think about it, yes.
Yeah.
The machinery of power comes first, and then the collective identity is shaped, molded, encouraged to fit that machinery.
Wow.
And what's really driving all this, the engine behind it, according to Davidson? Competition. Yes. He argues that capital, the capitalist system, inherently needs exclusive access. Access to markets, raw materials, a controllable workforce. So different capitalist groups competing globally needed state forms. States that could protect their interests within defined borders, and states that could help them compete effectively against other capitals organized in other territories. This competitive dynamic is just fundamental, an almost irresistible structural pressure that shaped the world into nation states.
So to pull out a key idea from his work then, national consciousness did not emerge from the mists of antiquity, but from the very material requirements of capitalist competition. That's a really powerful way to put it, connecting identity to economic necessity.
It is indeed. And it shows how ruling classes actively use cultural elements, language, history, shared myths, monuments, education systems. All of it can be used to construct these national identities, not because it's some natural evolution, but pragmatically. To secure popular support for state projects, to mobilize people for economic and military competition.
It's an instrumental process.
Very much so. Which, you know, raises a big question for all of us, doesn't it? How much of what we just accept as our national identity is actually the result of this kind of intentional construction? And what does that imply?
Okay, let's shift to the present day. Many thinkers, especially maybe in the late 20th century, argued that globalization would make the nation-state obsolete. You know, the idea of a borderless world, supranational organizations taking over, national identity fading. But Davidson says basically the opposite is true, right? The nation-state is still very much alive and kicking.
Yeah, he argues it's perhaps even more central now. If you connect this to the bigger picture, Davidson says the nation-state remains absolutely indispensable for global capitalism. Think about it. Transnational corporations, sure, they operate globally, but they still rely heavily on their home states for diplomatic backup, legal support, sometimes military intervention abroad.
Right.
And domestically, states manage labor, they enforce contracts, they regulate markets, often in ways that benefit their own capitals, and they fiercely compete with each other to attract investment, to lure factories and headquarters.
So to paraphrase him, globalization hasn't killed the nation state.
It's transformed it into the main agent for making sure territory stays competitive within the world market. The world, in his view, is still fundamentally a hierarchical system of competing nation states, all jostling for advantage.
Okay, so this is really interesting theory, but for you, listening right now, how does this deep dive into Davidson's ideas actually apply? How can it change how you see things day to day?
Well, I think it provides some really crucial insights. For one, it helps you analyze state policies differently. Think about debates over trade deals or subsidies for certain industries or regulations. Davidson's lens encourages you to look beyond the rhetoric of national interest and ask, okay, which specific interests within the nation benefit? How does this move position this state in the global competition for capital?
So it makes you question the official narratives more.
Exactly. It helps you critically read media coverage of political events, too. You start recognizing how nationalist language often frames the interests of specific groups, often elites, as if they're universal national interests. And perhaps most importantly, this framework really underscores the need for international solidarity, because huge global problems, climate change, massive inequality, pandemics, they obviously require solutions that go beyond national borders. Thinking only in national terms just isn't enough.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What stands out most to me from all this is just how Davidson insists that things we think are natural, eternal, are actually historical products. The nation state feels so permanent, so normal, but he shows it emerged under specific conditions, which implies maybe it could be transcended one day. It just gives you a lot of food for thought. It opens up possibilities.
Absolutely. That's a huge takeaway. It's a real paradigm shift he offers.
Yeah.
You move from seeing nations as these sort of ancient cultural families to understanding them as modern politically constructed communities forged in the heat of capitalist development. And you see the state not as some neutral referee, but as fundamentally a guarantor of a specific economic system. This kind of critical historical analysis just peels back the layers on things that seem natural. And that does open up space to imagine, maybe even create, different ways of organizing ourselves.
It challenges the status quo at a really deep level.
It does.
So, okay, here's a final provocative thought for you, our listener, to mull over, building on Davidson's work. If the nation state as we know it is really a product of capitalism designed to organize competition, what might a post-capitalist world actually look like? And what kinds of political forms might emerge then? It's a huge question, obviously, but Davidson gives us some tools to start thinking about it. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.